John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. We're dealing with the subject of what is truth? What is truth? John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus. Of course, Jesus was being examined prior to his crucifixion. And said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And he went, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we approach this subject rejoicing that we have been recipients of your grace to be able to receive the truth into our lives and our hearts. But we also grieve that it's so rejected in our day, in our generation. Lord, help us as we contemplate dealing with this question that so many people ask. Help us, Lord, to be ready, willing, and able to give the hope that lies within us. To tell what great things you have done for us, that others may, as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, may know what it means to have the truth to make them free. We ask now, Father, you would forgive us of our sins. Help us now as we sit at the feet of your word. We may understand it and apply it to our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to each heart. You know each one. You know each need. You know why this text was brought to my attention and who is going to be here. You know all about all of that. You're in control of all things. God, help us to take this word with that in mind. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and our Savior, and for His sake, amen. What is truth? You know, I may have began this message in a different way years ago, but with all the fake news, you know, it's no wonder people would ask such questions. And I thought about, well, let me give some examples of some fake news. But then I thought, well, maybe what I said about fake news was fake news. So, you know, you don't know. We live in a crazy world, don't we? I mean, that we would have such things. The only thing that I could give an example of is when people say things like, Brother Cletus had an article by the guy over at Wake Forest, a supposed professor of Bible or whatever he was, or thought he was, that the Bible wasn't true. Well, that's fake news. And really, I don't even like the term fake news. It's just plain out lies. just to be very honest and direct about it. It is nothing but lies, and those who say those things are liars. And there's not any good thing said about liars in the Word of God. So it adds a whole new significance to the question, what is truth? We are, and I don't like being negative, and in the end we're not going to be negative, but I think we need to understand these things and be prepared. You know, the wise and the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. You know, that's what we want to be like in case there is danger and so forth. I still remember, I think about Liesl over there, and I remember that book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, who was a Lutheran pastor. I mean, I'm not Lutheran, but you know what I mean. He was concerned about everything that's going on in Nazi Germany and what do I do in all of this? And it does make you wrestle. What is truth? I need to make sure I know where I stand and in these evil days. And he went to prison. And he was executed. And those are things that we need to take in consideration. You know, we're in a sad state, like Israel was at the end of the prophet Isaiah's life. We find there in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, we're not, you know, sometimes we think, we're great America. We will never fall. We have freedom and we have a constitution and we got all these things. And it's been wonderful. God has blessed us. But we're not immutable. Only God is immutable. What I mean by that big word is we're not unchangeable. Man is so susceptible to change. And something different, something new. Nothing wrong necessarily with something different, something new. But when it leads us down the path of darkness and lies, it's wrong and it's detrimental to a nation. I mean, ancient Rome thought that, oh, we're the great Roman Empire, and look what happened to it. Same thing can happen to us. Israel was God's favored nation. Look what happened to her. So the same thing can happen to us. We need to take that in consideration. But Isaiah 59 verse 14 says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth is fallen in the street, and everybody's stepping all over it like it's a bunch of trash. That's the way it was in Isaiah's day. Matter of fact, he says in the next verse, "Yea, truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." In other words, you depart from evil and you start standing up for the truth, watch your back, because people will hate you for it. They hated Jesus, didn't they? They crucified him. The apostles, every one of them, from what we understand, died as martyrs except for John. That tells you something. We have been tremendously blessed in this country. Now, I thank God to be able to be a citizen of this country and be able to live here and grow up here and have the freedoms. But they may not be much longer. Matter of fact, they've already been starting to been taken away from us. Isaiah was simply summarizing the situation that, you know, the moral absolutes had disappeared and the public morality had collapsed and the individual moral character was under threat. Individuals being attacked. Watch your back. We're dangerously close to that today, if not there already. Sadly, very few will be valiant in the truth like Isaiah was. And instead, and you see it out there, as long as they have food in their belly, as long as they have clothes on their back, as long as they have a decent place to live, they're not going to say a word. They're going to be sinfully silent. Sinfully silent. And all the while, the wicked with their lies are not being silent. They're being more bold in lies than God's people are about the truth sometimes. We cannot let that happen. They're not going to fight for anything, these who are just concerned about the temporary things of this life. They won't until it's too late. And by the time they realize, while they're in prison, while they're living in shacks, while they see their families disintegrate, then they'll wake up when it hits them personally. And by then, in all likelihood, it'll be too late. It'll take decades to get back what we have lost. Jeremiah's day, you know, it's just sad. We see, like, during election time, most people realize these promises are so full of lies by the politicians. And that, in turn, fills people's heart with despair. Because they know that the politicians, the leaders in the country, so many of them, they're lying. A lying society is a hopeless society. Amen. When you can't believe, and you have to wonder, well, I don't know if what they're telling me is true or not. Isn't that awful to live in a world like that? But that's the world. That's the progressives' view. That, who was it that said we're devolving? Brother Pack, I believe, was saying we're devolving. Yes, because we want to hear lies in our culture today. Jeremiah's day, things went from bad to worst. From the times of Isaiah, they didn't listen to Isaiah. And what happened now, just a few years later, with Jeremiah? It got worse. It's just like cancer. If you don't deal with it, it spreads and it gets worse. If you don't deal with the lies, it will spread and get worse. Notice Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7:28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. And then in chapter 9, verse 3, and they bend their tongues like bows for lies. And they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Now, but why does this happen? Why do nations get to that point? Because Satan's a liar and the father of it. And he has this ability to make lies look good. He has that ability. After all, he deceived a third of the angels. And if he can deceive a third of the angels, he can deceive us. That's easy. And so he makes lies like a whited sepulcher. But inside, it's full of dead men's bones. Now, some of them say, well, it's all about love. Okay? We do this because we love you. We love, you know, all this, that, and the other. But in reality, when you really dig deep, it's not love at all. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in what? The truth. That love chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13 tells us that. Rejoices in the truth. And when people lie about the Bible, and they lie about abortion, and they lie about sodomy, and they lie about all these other things, they're not being loving at all. They're lying, and they're hateful. And it's shown by the fact that they put God's people in prison. And they take God's people to court because they won't make a cake for somebody who is a sodomite. Not because they're hateful, but because they love them. Because they want them to come to terms with who they are and that they're sinning against God. And they're exercising their freedom and their rights in this country. But hate wants to start a fight and wants to they could go get a cake somewhere else. And it wasn't the only cake maker. They could have gone somewhere else. But they're picking a fight and picking on this man. And they're using liberal judges and ACLU and all these other organizations to further their cause. That's not love, it's hate. There's no doubt about it. Well, that they got nice facilities, though, in the various buildings that these particular places are. They have lofty orations and talented musicians and singers and entertainers and programs and to suit every possible fancy and even some outwardly pleasant people. You know, whether we're talking government agencies, religious organizations, or charitable organizations, whatever it is, they got all that. Can't be all wrong, could it? Well, we see that the prophets found out that the people, anyway, were not all so pleasant at all. Matter of fact, they got killed for speaking the truth. You think about a hospital. Let's say you got a hospital, beautiful facilities. I mean, huge, and the architecture is just ornate and exquisite, this hospital building. And they got, you know, these people from the highest, the institutions of highest learning, and the most pleasant and beautiful people work there. But they don't scrub before they do a operation. They don't get rid of the germs that are necessary before they go into surgery. They don't have the particular equipment that they need. They don't use it. That wouldn't be so good then, would it? And such are the institutions of this world. Even the religious institutions of this world. You know, something that calls itself a church and yet is filled with the abominations of idolatry. Pictures and statues, that's idolatry. It's just plain as day. It is idolatry. It's an abomination to God. We're to what? Live by faith. Faith is a substance, Hebrews chapter 11 defines for us, is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things that are not seen. That, and you know what else it says in Hebrews 11? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't have time to get into all of that, but you know, some of these religious organizations, you know, Jesus said that there are those religious leaders during the time in which he was here in his humiliation who honored, drew near to him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. So a lot of these organizations today don't even draw near to God with their lips because they speak lies. And their heart is far from God. And they lead people away from God. But let's look first of all at the existence of truth. Pilate seems to think that, oh, well, what is truth? I mean, who can possibly know what truth is? Well, contrary to, and that's the way modern thinking is today, isn't it? What is truth? Truth is not some elusive, mysterious concept that is hidden at the center of the earth. That's not what truth is. Don't you think that God, the same God who made it possible for us to know that 1 + 1 = 2, would make it possible to know that truth? Do you think He would not let us know the truth about sin and about salvation and about eternal life and about eternal damnation and all these other things that we find in the Bible? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? They would let us know those simple things of 1 + 1 = 2, but when it comes about those eternal things, oh no, He's not going to let us know that. You can't know that truth. But blind men cannot see the sun, though the sun being shining right in front of them. The very fact that something is declared as untrue automatically declares that something is true. Oh, 1 + 1 = 0, that's wrong. Well, how do you know that? Because you know the truth is 1 + 1 = 2. So there is the existence of truth. But now, what about the revelation of truth? How do you know what truth is exactly? Let's say that you're honestly wondering. It's not sarcastic like Pilate probably was saying that, like, there's no way you can find out truth. But what if someone is honestly asking, what is truth? I'd like to know what truth is. What is the revelation of truth, in other words? Well, it helps us sometimes, and it helps me to look at what it isn't. The opposite of truth is falsehood. The sin against the 9th commandment, Exodus 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear witness against thy neighbor. And we can think about all kinds of lies, whether it's hypocrisy, which, you know, tries to appear like they're of the truth, but they're not of the truth. Those who say, well, I'm just kidding, when really they're wanting to make you feel bad. And all these other forms of deception and lies. Satan wants us to think light of lies. But we should never, ever think light of lies. We find the revelation of truth in God's Word. God's Word is truth. In John 17:17, a very familiar passage, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. You can depend upon God's word that He has preserved. Down through time, they've tried to take it away from people. They've tried to take away the word of God from people and given it only to those who were preachers or priests. And only put it in a Latin language so you couldn't understand it, so that you couldn't check up on what they were saying. When Paul said that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures to see whether what the Apostle Paul said was true. We're supposed to search. I'm just a human being. I want you to search the scriptures. I want you to make sure what I'm just a man of like passions as the rest of you. So, but in Psalms 119 verse 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word is true from the beginning all the way to forever. It's has always been true from the beginning and shall always be true. I don't need anything else. I don't need a dream. I don't need a vision. I don't need somebody who says they're a prophet, or someone who says they're a pope, or someone who says that they, you know, are whoever. I don't need them. All I need is the word. If I want to know the truth. And anything that anybody says that goes against the truth, it's a lie. Just pure and simple. I'm glad when God makes it simple. But then
In Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old, speaking of his word, are faithfulness and truth. It's truth. God's truth is God's seal upon his promises. We find that Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised. If you promise something and you don't break your promise, you are being true. You are being truthful. We see, not only is God's word truth, but God is truth. He's the God of truth. Isaiah again, chapter 65, verses 14 through 16. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hid from mine eyes. There's going to be one day when we will rejoice in the God of truth like we've never rejoiced, because all wickedness is going to be put asunder from us. God is the only being, has been the only being, and will always be the only being in the universe of whom it can say, be said, he is truth, he is the whole truth, and he's nothing but the truth. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. Psalms 31:5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed thee, O Lord God of truth. Jeremiah 10:10, as to be dealt with the whole deal with the tree and the worship of it. It says, but the Lord God is the true God. He is a living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. And then again, we see that the Thessalonians, Paul rejoiced as he wrote there in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And we see it in the Father, that truth. We've seen it as it talks about there, into thine hand I commit my spirit, there in Psalms 31:5, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. We're to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit. And he's also the God of truth. Jesus said there in John 14:6 that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we see the Father and the Son are truth because they're God. And then in 1 John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So it's no surprise, the Trinitarian God of the Holy Scriptures is truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we might ask, I'll say, okay, well, that's nice to know. In the Bible is truth, and the God of the Bible is truth. But what does that have to do with me? What's the importance of the truth? Well, the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. And on the other end of that,
falsehood will bring you into bondage. Bring you into slavery spiritually. God's true to His threatenings. And God is true just like He's true to His promises. And we see that evidenced. The prideful heart, God judges. Herod is a testimony to that. God struck him. He punishes the blasphemers. God's judgment is according to truth. Notice there in Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. What is truth? Again, His word is true. God's going to judge everyone by His word. That's why it's so important. That's why truth is so important. That's why it's so important to know your Bibles and for me to know my Bible. Revelation 16:7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And then in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. We die physically once. And those who don't know Christ die a second death, which is a forever death in hell. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in Revelation 22:15, without, outside of God and His blessings, are dogs and who's, I'm talking about spiritual dogs. No, I'm not talking about the other ones, even though I don't believe animals get to heaven. But you know what I mean. That's another subject. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Liars and those who love lies and make up lies. Romans 1:18, we have a lot of this going on. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? They suppress the truth. They hold it back. They won't, the mainstream media won't cover the Bible being preached. If they got anything to say about God's people, it's always going to be negative. That's the prejudiced mindset. No, it's wrong to be prejudiced unless it's against Christians. I see the hypocrisy of it all. God have mercy on their souls. But God's salvation is also, thankfully, God's salvation is according to truth. Not just His judgment, but His salvation is. Psalm 69:13, but as for me, my prayer is unto Thee. O Lord, in acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me in the truth of Thy salvation. Salvation's true. Just like His promises, just like His judgments. He's true altogether. So I can believe Him. I can believe the good news. I don't have to worry whether He's lying to me or not. Because God cannot lie. It's against His very nature. So Jesus the Savior is the truth. And we can have salvation from our sins through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. For us to build our salvation on ourselves and what we do is like building on a sandy foundation. And when God's judgment comes, it's going to come crashing down into utter eternal ruination. But when we are depending upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ to be the foundation of our salvation, we don't have to worry. Because the judgment and the storm of God's wrath fell on Jesus.
Jesus in the place of sinners so that he could reconcile us. Because he paid the penalty of death and hell and the grave in the place of sinners who would believe on him. His salvation is according to truth. Not to believe God's truth, though, as Proverbs or John chapter 5 verse 10 says, he that believeth not has made God a liar. Calling God a liar. If you don't believe, that's what you're doing. The scriptures tell us, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's how important it is. Don't sell out. Buy the truth and sell it not. And it's important because to worship God, you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, what should be our response to all of this? Well, first of all, believe on Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. It's the only way you can get to heaven. You can grow in the truth. That's what we do with it. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can be sanctified. We can grow in the truth. We can judge by the truth as we judge things. You know, I know the passage, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus did say that. But what was he talking about? He was talking about don't judge people's hearts. You don't know people's hearts. Only God knows the heart. If we couldn't judge, I couldn't judge whether I want spaghetti or lasagna. Because I'm judging, you know. I can't judge and say, well, this is a good person that I'm going to, you know, he would be the better candidate for president than this other person. I'm judging. I'm going to pick this woman to be my wife and not this other woman. I'm judging. I mean, we judge all the time. It's just there are certain things we shouldn't judge because we don't know people's hearts. We can judge according to truth. We can look at God's word and assess the situation based on what we can see. And if we see fruit in this person's life, we do that when someone joins a church. John the Baptist said, before I baptize you, give me fruit meat for repentance. I want to see some repentance. I want to see your life to change. There's a judgment made. That's according to God's truth. And that is to see the fruits. Do I see the fruit? Do I see the evidence of salvation? And then, of course, we diligently live according to truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We can diligently study and deliver the truth as we think about speaking the truth in love and rightly dividing the word of truth and realize that God of his own will begat us with the word of truth. And we ought to support and join a sound church. You know, a church there in 1 Timothy 3:15 is what? The pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar or supporter and ground of the truth. That's what a church is, of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And we find there's lots of things that we can do in response to this. The fact that people need to hear in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We need to tell people because it's going to be damnation for those who receive not the love of the truth. They reject it. They hate it. And give them hope, as we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God at the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Encourage people to believe in the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And we need to understand that there are going to be those, as 2 Timothy 3:7 says, who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No matter what we say, how eloquent and well thought out our arguments might be, they'll never come to the truth. So what can we do? 3 John 1:8. We therefore are to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Let's help those who have embraced the truth. Let's help each other as we seek to let the truth be known and support one another, to encourage one another. Because the world certainly is not going to do that. They're going to do everything they can to discourage us. Always has been that way. And oh, it may be too late for our country. Maybe we're going to go down in the time in which it's a point of no return. It might be. One thing to remember, that we're that much closer to Christ's return. But if we fight for the truth, and we're valiant for the truth, at least God will be glorified. And that should be enough, shouldn't it? That God's going to be, God wouldn't be glorified if we weren't valiant for the truth. But He is if we're valiant for the truth. We fight the good fight of faith. But also, we wouldn't have to live with a condemning conscience when things get bad, and we realize we didn't do everything we ought to do. And we all could say that in one sense. But at least if we can say we did something, we won't have a condemning conscience. That maybe things would have been a little better. Maybe my children and grandchildren would have known a little more measure of the truth if I would have stood up and spoke up about the truth. Think about that. And let's remember Romans 3:4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. God is true. And anybody says anything against it, they're a liar. And lies never, you know, we think about people lying and we laugh about fake news until it affects us personally. Ooh, then we don't like it. Lies are bad no matter if it affects us personally or whether it affects somebody else on the other side of the world. It's always detrimental. So may the truth make us free. And may we abide in that truth and rejoice in that truth as we seek to make it known to others.